The single most consequential development of the past 72 hours is what did not happen. Late Saturday, President Trump halted what sources describe as a massive planned military strike against Iran, citing a peace deal he called imminent. By Monday morning, oil markets told the story clearly. Brent crude fell sharply as traders unwound a risk premium that had been building since the Strait of Hormuz crisis began. The question isn't just what happened this weekend. It's what the framework of this near miss tells us about where the Iran conflict actually stands.
The context matters enormously here. Trump simultaneously called these negotiations Iran's last chance and threatened what he described as decapitation if talks collapse. That's not the language of a president who's confident diplomacy will hold. It's the language of someone who wants credit for restraint while keeping the threat credible. The pause came after Gulf allies, reportedly including the UAE and Saudi Arabia, intervened directly. And that's where the Steve Hanke claim becomes interesting, even if it's unverified. Hanke, the Johns Hopkins economist, says MBS threatened to dump U.S. Treasury holdings to stop the strikes. Treasury data doesn't corroborate that, and major wire services haven't confirmed it. But the fact that it's being discussed tells you how much pressure was applied behind closed doors.
From a market mechanics standpoint, what happened Monday is a textbook unwinding of geopolitical risk premium. For months, energy traders had been pricing in the possibility of a prolonged Strait of Hormuz closure, which at its peak would have threatened roughly 20% of global seaborne oil supply. When that threat recedes even temporarily, the premium collapses fast. But here's the complication that analysts are flagging. The crisis buffers are gone. Emergency strategic reserves that governments drew down during the Hormuz disruption haven't been replenished. Demand destruction that cushioned the price spike during the closure can't be replicated quickly. If the ceasefire collapses and strikes resume, the second wave of energy market stress would arrive without the shock absorbers the world had the first time.
And Trump's demand that oil companies cut gas prices immediately sits awkwardly against that backdrop. He's calling for lower prices at the pump while simultaneously warning that Iran talks could collapse. Those two things are in direct tension. Oil company executives know that if conflict resumes, the price spike would dwarf anything they could voluntarily cut right now. So the demand reads more as political positioning ahead of midterms than as an operational directive anyone in the energy sector is taking literally.
There's also the Saudi Aramco earnings data that landed this morning. Aramco posted a 44% profit jump to $32.7 billion in Q2. Think about that number. A 44% jump, despite the company acknowledging Houthi strikes on its own infrastructure. War has been extraordinarily profitable for the world's largest oil producer, which creates its own perverse incentive structure around any peace deal. Saudi Arabia benefits from high prices. It also hosts U.S. military assets and has strong reasons to prevent a regional escalation that could destabilize the monarchy. MBS is threading a needle, and that tension may explain why the Hanke Treasury threat claim, verified or not, has gained traction.
Former Vice President Pence is not satisfied with the pause. He went on record Monday urging military action, saying Trump will eventually snap on Iran, framing the ceasefire as a delay, not a resolution. That's a significant statement from someone who was in the room for major national security decisions during the first term. Pence is positioning himself as the hawk alternative to whatever Trump ends up doing. But more practically, he's signaling to Republican defense hawks that the Iran decision remains politically contestable within the party.
The civilian death toll from the bomb report adds another layer. Reports of civilian casualties from earlier U.S. strikes surfaced this week, and that information appears to have been part of what gave Trump political cover to pause. The administration has walked a fine line between acknowledging the strikes happened and claiming they were proportionate. That balance becomes harder to maintain as casualty documentation accumulates.
One thread connecting all of this to U.S. defense industrial capacity, the Trump administration issued an executive order in July banning Chinese-sourced materials and weapons systems. and the Iran conflict has been drawing down key missile inventories at a rate that's exposing just how dependent American defense production is on Chinese rare earth minerals and components. Replacing those supply chains in any reasonable time frame is a multi-year industrial project. Right now, the U.S. is burning through Tomahawks and JASSM inventory it cannot quickly replace. That constraint is very likely part of why a prolonged air campaign became less attractive than a negotiated pause.